We don't see all the practices. We don't see the drills. We don't see the locker room, stuff like that. Like, that doesn't mean they're not there. That's I feel true. Like they provide a useful role in the locker room, but their just name just isn't up in lights. Kind of like a producer. Okay.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Vince taking a couple of days off. Eric is here, so is Michelle Richards. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
Mike Spalding in for Debbie Lazga in the Rhodes. Adam Roberts is here, and Greg Pancake Hill producing and doing the sports for us this morning. So it's a waiting game in Delaware right now. The jury in Hunter Biden's criminal trial is going to begin its first full day of deliberations this morning. President's son accused of lying about his drug use when he bought a gun in 2018.
Hunter Biden's fate is now in the hands of a Delaware jury. After the president's son decided not to take the stand in his own defense Monday, closing arguments started, with the prosecution arguing the evidence was personal, ugly, and overwhelming. Adding, jurors should ignore those attending the trial as the first lady and multiple members of the Biden family looked on.
Yeah, the prosecutor's basically saying there that, look, first lady, she's not evidence. That's not evidence. Look at the evidence in the case. They accused Biden of basically checking a box saying he wasn't an addict when he bought the gun. Now, the defense has a different strategy. Here's ABC News chief legal analyst Dan Abrams.
It's a pretty straightforward case legally. I mean, the defense has provided a possible answer if you want to find not guilty, which is this idea that the prosecution has the burden to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. And the defense is essentially saying, are you sure it was knowingly? Did he know that he was a drug addict at that moment?
Yeah, so that'll be what they deliberate today in Delaware. If convicted, the president's son, Hunter, could face prison time. Again, we are watching the jury in Delaware. 7:14 sports in 1 minute with Greg.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Yeah, welcome home. Brewers back home, opening a three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays at AmFam Field. A welcoming at that, because it's been five games since the Brewers have done this.
The pitch, breaking ball, hammered out towards left. Going back is Schneider. Onto the track, wall gone! Jackson Chourio, his seventh home run of the season, and it ties this game at one.
Yeah, Lane Grindle on the call. That would be the tying home run in the third. Willy Adames would hit another home run in the fourth for his 10th of the year, and then another sack fly. The crew takes the first game against the Blue Jays 3-1, the final score. Now, here's the stat of the day. Brewers 13-11, an MLB best record of games where they do not hit a home run. Manager Pat Murphy, a fan of the long ball.
I like it when we hit them, though.
I mean, that's kind of undebatable. Yeah, like, me too, Skip. We'll do the full quote here.
I like it when we hit them, though. I'm not trying to promote not hitting homers, that's for sure.
I love it.
Better when you hit them, I suppose.
Indeed. Great messaging. Love that philosophy. Brewers back at it tonight. Brewers warm up at 6 this evening right here on WTMJ. First pitch set for 7:10. By the way, Pat Murphy, our Brewers 360 guest at 7:45. Right. This morning. And hide your backboards. This guy's back.
And for the jam!
Wow. Told you he was a slam dunk waiting to happen. Well, there it is.
There it is. Darvin Ham back on the Bucks coaching staff and assistant coach to Doc Rivers. He played with the Bucks from 1999 to 2002, won a championship here as an assistant to Mike Budenholzer in 2021. And Ham is most recently the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. He coached the Lakers the past two seasons, and he is back.
Is this really a thing? Just getting into the weeds a little bit as a fan, but not a crazy fan.
I mean, I'm not an NBA player, so I don't know. I mean, it's,
not that I don't like them.
Right.
I'm happy to have
And
them.
Also, like, I'd hate to discredit, like, you know, disparage the work we don't see. Like, just because we don't see all the practices, we don't see the drills, we don't see the locker room, stuff like that, like, that doesn't mean they're not there.
That's
I feel
true.
Like they provide a useful role in the locker room, but their just name just isn't up in lights. Kind of like a producer.
Okay. Kind of like a pancake breakfast. The only reason I ask is because, like, social media lit up on Monday when it was announced that Darvin Ham was coming back. Like, it was as if we had won another championship.
I mean, hey, you'd rather see that than the adverse reaction.
Good point. 7:18. Hey, got some issues on the roadways. We'll check in with Mike Spalding here in a minute. 722 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric Bilstead along with Michelle Richards. Vince is off this week, although he's probably still working. In fact, I have gotten an email from him. I got an email this morning.
Does he poke around the show plan? Be honest.
I haven't seen him mess with the show plan yet, but he has.
Because he does when we're on the air, I bet.
He's asked a couple of questions, and he has responded to a couple of emails that I'm copied on. So, yeah, I know that he's still still keeping his eye on things because he has no other way about him, which that's what I love about him so much. Anyway, one of the stories that we've been following very closely, we have an MPS update and we also have a Wauwatosa update. So let's start with the TOSA situation, Michelle. So this was a school board meeting that was going to happen Monday night. And what could have been discussed or what could have been voted on, but it wasn't or anything like that, just a conversation about what to do with the middle schools there. They have $30 million in deferred maintenance that they have to put into Longfellow and to Whitman middle schools. That's on top of the $120 million district-wide deferred maintenance on other areas that they got to deal with. So one of the proposals by the superintendent is to close Longfellow and Whitman. Just get rid of the middle schools and have them be basically K through 6 at the elementary schools and then 7 through 12 at the high schools. Now, at first, it sounds, oh my gosh, seventh graders strutting the halls with seniors or whatnot. It really wouldn't be that way. At least that would be the intention. But of course, when you hear seventh and eighth graders going with the high school, that's what you think. But they would try to avoid that situation. And also, this wouldn't happen anytime soon. This would be like in 2029, that school year, 2029-2030. So this isn't going to happen overnight. Hasn't even been voted on yet. But they did have some parents come in, and they did discuss it on Monday night. Parents worried about, of course, the closure of these schools, worried about some STEM programs that might be switched or eliminated, some Spanish classes, some referendums that could be on the table. So there's a lot to be discussed at this meeting. Superintendent Damon Means had this to say as to why everything's on the table.
There's a lot that we have been asked to try to untangle. Be it from legacy systems that have been left to us before we arrived, and now we're trying to make sure that everyone has access to fair programming, to making sure that every family has a voice, to ensuring that we have enough funds to educate and to compensate teachers. That's where we are. And so I appreciate the comment. That's just a reaction I have.
You know, one thing I would point out is that I have heard teachers say before that sixth graders, at least, are more like elementary school people, if you will, than like seventh and eighth, where seventh and eighth graders generally a little bit older, transitioning a little bit more, growing a little bit more. Where the sixth graders, you can get away with keeping them in the elementary school. I mean, that was back in the day. That's how it was when I first started, way, way, way back when. Sixth graders were part of the elementary school. Not anymore, but that's how it was.
And I went to a school that was K through 8.
Really?
And then, yeah. Parochial school.
All right, first graders strut around with the eighth graders?
Yeah,
in the same
it was
hallways.
All one was building, all one hall. Mm-hmm.
So a couple of referendum on the table as well, including a $48 million operational expenses referendum in Wauwatosa. TMJ4's Megan Lee.
All right, something important to note here is that these are all recommendations. The board was asking questions to the superintendent. So as of right now, these are all recommendations. The board will actually have to decide on the future of the district by August of this year. So just a few months away. As far as that $48 million referendum goes, they will be voting on that next week, and that could be on the November ballot.
All right, so that could be on the November ballot, the $48 million operational referendum. Then to Milwaukee, MPS, the Milwaukee Public Schools District, is continuing to work on overdue financial reports. Another board meeting is scheduled for Thursday to consider the budget plan. Now, Alderman Scott Spiker is calling for MPS school board members to hold a public hearing on the matter. And we know how that would go if they held a public hearing. Or he says they should step down. So that's coming from an alderman there at City Hall. Now, we should point out the aldermen have no real say in this, but obviously he's using his position to call for some change there. But as of now, Thursday, the next time we should hear from MPS as far as their financial reports and whether or not they vote on a budget. Brewers manager Pat Murphy joins us for Brewers 360. That's at 7:45.
Yes, Eric, there is another reason to love Taylor Swift, as if she's not awesome enough.
Oh, jeez. All right.
The pop superstar stopped an Eras Tour concert in Edinburgh, Scotland over the weekend to have security help a fan who was in distress. So she refused to keep singing until the fan was tended to. And of course, she went viral because of her compassion as fans posted clips to social media. Thankfully, it was short-lived and she seamlessly kept singing would've, could've, should've. No word on exactly what happened with that fan, but here is how that sounded.
Because we're not going to keep singing. We're just going to keep talking about the people that need help in front of me. Just let me know when. I could do this all night. Okay, you're good? Awesome!
So she kept playing.
She was just going to hang.
But she did just kind of talk through that song.
I thought she was going to start like doing some freestyle there for a second. It almost sounded like she was going to narrate the situation there.
Yeah, it did sound like she was singing what was happening, but no, she just, you know, somebody needed help and she wasn't going to keep going until that fan was helped.
How is she still touring? Man, take a break.
Energy.
Settle down. Good for her. That's great. It's nice to know that she's helping the fans. It is 7:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Earlier on the program, Michelle was mentioning that she has been interviewed by AI before. Michelle Richards being interviewed by an app.
An app, yes.
And Wired has the story today about how they're using like AI characters now. So basically, it's like a cartoon person. It'll interview you for a job through like a Zoom call. And the reason they're doing that is because it's more efficient, right? You can interview multiple people that way.
Right. When you have thousands of people applying for jobs, you can kind of weed them out a little bit.
And we got this text on the WTMJ talking text line, 855-616-1620. I'd walk out of any interview with an AI. The fact that I'm not getting a real human to interview would tell me all I need to know about that organization. It's probably true, but you don't have to walk out of the interview. You probably just have to...
Cartoon? Nope, I'm out.
As you sit there at the desk, wait a minute. No, and yeah, hey, more power to you. I get it. But companies are trying to find ways to be more efficient and get more interviews done. This is something that's actually already happening. Hey, an update on that sinkhole situation in Whitefish Bay. We're getting some of the particulars now. We have reached out to the village, hoping to get more details on this. A deep storm sewer failed over the weekend. The sinkhole formed on Sunday. The sinkhole is 70 feet deep.
Ooh.
And it's right there on the walking path. This is right between like Buckley Park and Big Bay Park in that stretch there in Whitefish Bay. They say a failed sewer is probably 90 years old. And, you know, 20% of the village goes through this, says the village. But man, when you get all that rain, I mean, this is not unprecedented. We've had issues elsewhere. We've had issues on the east side of Milwaukee before.
We have one in Franklin right now. They're working on Putes Road because of a 4x4-foot sinkhole.
Oof. 70 feet deep, this one in Whitefish Bay. So they're working on it. No timeline on how easily they'll be able to get that back up and running. It is coming up on Brewers 360 time. The skipper, Pat Murphy, joins us next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers win. The crew beat the Blue Jays at American Family Field 3-1. Same teams tonight right here on WTMJ. Brewers 360 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On Tuesdays, we talk with the Skip, Pat Murphy, on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline. Hello, Skip.
How are you?
So you hit a home run. You didn't, but your team hit home runs last night. That was different. Haven't seen those in a bit.
And, it's okay. However we get it done. I did hit a couple home runs in wiffle ball yesterday morning with my kids. So.
Very nice. Are those the kids we see oftentimes in the news conferences after the game?
Yep. They're right next to me right now. They're laying in bed here.
Fantastic.
My little guy's got a cough.
Fantastic. So, you know, some critics would say that by having the little kids next to you during news conferences, it prevents the reporters from asking you tough questions.
Wow. I didn't think of that. I'll keep doing that then.
Hey, did you happen to follow the bat saga like the rest of us last night? So Vladdy Guerrero lost control of his bat and it went up into the net there along the third base side.
I was at the game. Yeah, I was there.
I know, but did you notice they were never bringing the bat down? It became like a focal point for many fans.
No doubt about it. It was fun. Our guys started talking about it and thinking of ways you'd get it and who would climb the net and that type of thing. So it became fun.
I've never seen anything like actually stick in the net before. I guess that makes it ensures that they're safe or whatnot. I guess my favorite part was knowing that the loud cheer that the maintenance guy got once the bat finally came down.
That was awesome. Now you think about it, I'm surprised it hasn't happened before. Because the size of the bat, it can't get all the way through that netting. So, yeah, I was surprised.
I think maintenance guys should be able to keep that bat, too. Vladdy should sign it for him.
Vladdy will take care of him, I promise you. He's a great man.
All right, so you have Carlos Rodriguez on the hill again. By our account, that's the 12th starter so far this year. Another rookie. What do you tell him before he goes out there?
It's a great moment for you, Carlos. You're making your major league debut. It's a great moment, but truthfully, it's not about you. It's about the Brewers, and we need you to be your best self for the Brewers and your teammates. So hopefully that'll get him to realize he has a responsibility. You come to the big leagues, it's a great thrill, but you certainly have a responsibility to your teammates. So put your best self forward.
What's your personality that you're looking for there? Do you want a pitcher who's like super cocky and arrogant? Or are you looking for someone who's a little bit more humble or almost nervous? What's the perfect attitude to have?
I think there is none. I think that comes in every form. I think the guys will be anxious a little bit, and I think they got to learn to handle that emotion and channel it in the right way. And if they do, I think, they can have success and learn from it and keep growing from it.
So
handling those emotions are really, really important.
Pat Murphy joining us on Wisconsin's Morning News. Skip, I think if I'm looking at this right, you're on pace to have 25 or 26 different starters this year. Do you think that's sustainable?
I don't think that'll happen. But we've had 8 different guys get a save. We've had now 12 different guys get a start. And now we've got 9 guys on the injured list that are out of our top 15 pitchers. So it's a credit to the ball club that they're just all hands on deck and they're continuing to scrap and fight and try to win any way they can. Sometimes it's with a homer, sometimes not.
The headline was unfortunate that I read yesterday coming from you saying Brewers manager is pessimistic about the chances of Robert Gasser pitching again this year. It looks that bad, eh?
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's concerning. You know, whenever you have the elbow issue, and you have things that doctors' opinions that validate, that have done it for a living, and they validate that, hey, the guy has to have it. In order for it to be fixed for his career long term, he's probably going to have a procedure done at some point. So it's not to say that another great doctor might not say that that's necessary, but he's tried that other approach, and it came back again. So I think you're going to see him probably have to have a procedure after all, but I'm not going to forecast that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be honest with fans and people that follow us that, he's got to think about his future, not just this year. Could we get him healthy again to pitch a little bit this year? Yes. But doctors are probably saying that's long-term. That's probably not the best thing, but again, I'm just giving you my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm not a doctor.
No, I appreciate that. Appreciate the honesty and your candor with that, Pat. Pat Murphy joining us. Go get him again tonight, sir.
You got it. Thanks so much.
7:50.
Idea Man.
I was out playing with the tournament director, Nate Pokrass, and we ran into Strick, and Strick asked that same question.
Innovator.
He said, how was it? And both of us were like, it's way too dead. It's a tough course. There's water, and, for us, 15 handicap plus, it's a tough course.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
And Steve Deadpan looked at us and was like, Well, I made 9 birdies.
Well, yeah, you did, bro.
No blank, you did. You designed the course, and you're a professional golfer.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
All right, Tausch. So Apple is making news. Apple is now cooking up its own artificial intelligence technology. So you don't have to download an app like ChatGPT. You can just have it in their operating system. That's what they announced yesterday. And some of what it'll be able to do, and I'm curious if this like talks to you or not, if this is exciting for you. It says, hey, it'll say to you like, hey, do you want to chat with artificial intelligence about this? Do you want someone to summarize an article for you? Or the phone may ask you, would you like me to draft a text message for you? Would you take advantage of your iPhone if it was going to draft a very deep text message that you needed to send to somebody?
No, I am totally against it. And listen, I know this is the way the world's heading. I think artificial intelligence, everybody is getting into it. And don't you think it's just going to make our society lazier? And it's going to make things easier for sure. It's going to do probably a ton of good stuff, but are we really looking at all of the negative things that it's going to do too? So this is a train that I understand I'm going to get run over. You're not going to stop it. It's not going to slow down. But while there's all kinds of ease that comes with this, do we really know, like, how is a, you know, are we now every thought we have and everything else, is it going to be, I'm already paranoid about talking in front of my phone,
right?
And ads pop up that I don't Google search or anything else. And now we're going to just willingly, hey, you know, ChatGPT or artificial or Apple artificial intelligence, is it just going to be a constant monitoring? I have a ton more questions than I'm like super excited about it. So I am more concerned about this, I think, than I think most people. But again, man, I just don't think this locomotive is going to stop. And it's, all right, what are you going to do? Are you going to live your life without a cell phone? Are you going to live your life this way? No, you're not. So how are you going to go about doing it where it can be as beneficial to you without all of the other things that I believe are going to come up? And I just don't think we've had a really thoughtful discussion on that.
I think another feature that they were talking about was the ability to just exchange cash with another iPhone user, like we do with AirDrop.
Or Venmo, you know, or something like that.
But you don't even have to do any of that. You just have to be like next to the person. So can I see your phone real quick?
Yeah, can you take cash as well?
Just wait a second. So if you're like, hey, can you lend me $40? You don't even have to like press a button. It's just bing, bing, goes over.
You probably have to press something and approve it, but it's like an AirDrop is what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is all going to be, I think, super easy. And I think there's a lot of, that's going to make life even more easy. But, you know, I'm heading out to Johnson & Sons Paving. I'm actually thinking about going the other way. My hands have been getting too soft. I've been sitting around with a milky white. I'm not getting my hands dirty enough, so I'm going to get out and do a little manual labor today, and
nice.
Maybe I'll ask ChatGPT, artificial, whatever we want to call it, and say, you know, what that might look like and see if they're on board with it, because it just seems like there are a lot of perils that go with this, too, that nobody is talking about. It's all just the easy, great stuff that is going to come from it. But, man, I think there's a lot of potholes that we're not really paying attention to.
Speaking of potholes, make sure you keep your hands on the wheel of that steamroller when you're driving it for Johnson & Sons today.
Yeah, I'm
both hands
I'm
on the wheel.
I'm not going to lie to you. That's a lot of heavy equipment that I don't really have a clue what the heck I'm going to be doing. So I'll be fingers crossed that we get it done today.
Good luck. Thank you, Tausch. Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Kohler Services.